What's up, guys? Welcome to Beyond the Gym Floor. This week was fun. We sort of went through the topics that we had in the one-on-one business coaching calls this week. So super varied. We went from people in their first 3 months in the gym to people who just had their first over $10,000 week in their business and everything in between. We talked social media, we talked niching, we talked marketing, we talked fundamentals of business and went all over the place. It was really fun. We do need to remind you that the programming workshop, this will be last chance basically to get your tickets because it's this Friday, Port Melbourne, and Saturday, strength and physique programming. Listen to the end of the episode and hear how passionate Jason is about this weekend. It's going to be fucking epic. Apparently, it's the best thing we've ever presented. And I agree because mine's also going to be fucking awesome. Also on December 9th in Ringwood, we will have the Design Your Life Blueprint with Loz, who we had on the podcast last week, Jess, who you all know, and my wonderful wife, Amy, will be presenting. Three presenters, 3 hours. We're going to go through resetting from 2023 and building the life that you want in 2024 with a training session and some meditation slap hypno stuff as well. Make sure you leave ready to design your life for 2024. Tickets for that one are on either both linking bios, I'm sort of side-eyeing Tam, or potentially just on Fit. If you can't find it, just send us a message and we will get it to you. Tickets for that one are only $199. The programming workshop, which is fucking stupid, is $499 for the whole weekend. So we look forward to seeing you at least one of, if not both, of those events. Don't forget to like, share, subscribe. Subscribe makes the biggest difference to us in terms of reach. So if you could, all you have to do is just right now, just Spotify, subscribe, YouTube, just push the button, subscribe. Makes a really big difference to how many people get exposed to the content, and we think it's useful. Enjoy the episode. Have a great week, and we will see you in 7 days' time where we might have a couple of rough boys after our Christmas party this weekend. Ciao.
I've had a protein sandwich.
I'm so excited for Nando's.
Would it be a protein sandwich or a caffeine sandwich? Because it's like the protein was first, then the caffeine, then the protein.
That'd be a caffeine sandwich.
It would be a caffeine sandwich.
I'm gonna call it like a waffle stack. It's a stack.
Yeah.
Protein caffeine stack.
It's the bro meal. Ultimate bro meal.
And then, then you're going to go off and have chicken and rice.
So. I have 65 grams of protein running through my veins.
Tell you what, I didn't diet that hard or get that lean.
Yeah.
But this week, my hunger signaling and
it's gone up.
Fuck, bro.
Yeah.
I can't, for the last 12 weeks, just walk past a counter and not even flinch.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
But walk into a cafe now and see an almond croissant. I'm like,
yeah. You know when you
in and
offered me that?
My face.
You know the only reason why I didn't eat it?
Because you need to have 12.
Because I know I'll want more in the future.
Yeah.
And I can't have that yet.
Yeah.
Because I still have goals. Like, I want to be walking down Glenelg Beach turning heads.
Yeah. Maybe that's what happened. I had a taste of it.
Now I was going to say, you did have a birthday week.
Yeah.
What's your birthday? Birthday
in and
weeks.
Around my face.
No, that don't count. Yeah. That don't count.
You didn't wish me a happy birthday on the podcast last week, dog.
Bad luck. I didn't know it was your birthday.
Totally forgot about it.
I should have sung.
When you guys sing me happy birthday on the podcast, I'll sing you happy birthday.
Yeah.
That's the easiest way of just not committing
to
that.
Yeah, because it's like we don't record that week ever. We're on holidays.
Oh, that's perfect. So it's not fair. We're all about fairness at STC Fit.
Equal opportunities for everyone.
You know what I made during the week, which sounds awful, but it actually was really good. So I saw a TikTok. One of my clients sent it to me. And it was like cereal, so like raw cereal.
I'm in.
Raw cereal.
Whatever happens from here, I'm in.
So he pours it in the bowl, and it was like they must have had like chocolate and peanut butter cereal, like the Reese's one. Mm-hmm. And then he got protein powder and put the protein powder in the bowl, like just the powder.
I was going to mousse it.
And then he got sugar-free maple syrup and poured a little bit in, and then just a tiny bit of water, and he mixed it up so it was real thick.
Like a mousse, yeah.
And then... So with like the
with like crunchy bits of cereal.
Yeah. So it was like it was literally like clumpy.
Yeah.
Like so he just mixed it and then what he did is he put out the baking paper.
Oh.
And then he folded over and mashed it into like a thing and then he put it in the freezer.
Nah. Oh yeah.
Like
bark.
Yeah, and then it was like bark. So I made it and it's fucking hectic.
Did it melt in your hand though? Every time I've done that with yogurt, it melts in your hands.
So the only downside was that it melted in your hands. But I've got a solution.
So you like chop it and eat it with a spoon.
You just need smaller pieces.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I obviously ate it like a fucking Neanderthal. Like a it's like a big...
After you rip apart a bear chicken with your hands.
Correct. So if you either cut it up, which I couldn't bear to cut it up because like, you know when you walk on the footpath, like you can't walk on the lines?
Yes.
So I can't cut through a circle of the... I can't cut through a perfect like circular piece of cereal. I can't do it.
Yeah.
Like it's just not... It's against the rules of life. So I reckon you could make little cereal protein balls, mm-hmm. like tiny ones, and then you would freeze them, mm-hmm. and then you could just...
All right. So here's my interpretation of that. So most of prep, I've been having bulk nutrients, the casein that they have. Same. Little bit of milk.
Yep.
Whip it. It's much better with milk than it is with water.
Yep.
In the fridge for at least 15, if not 30 minutes, depending on how late at night you remembered to make it. And then I was putting like one scoop of light and creamy ice cream on top.
Yeah, I can see that.
Which sometimes meant that where the ice cream landed would freeze. Ugh, those were the best bits.
Of course.
But now that I actually have some extra calories, you could do that into the mousse straight away. So you can put like rice bubbles in it or something.
Mm.
So when you mix it, you're mixing the rice bubbles through. So when the mousse sets, you've got...
It's crunchy on the inside.
Chocolate, rice bubble, mousse, reasonable calories.
You could do all of that. We could do both of those. You could have them on rotation.
All of the things.
Yeah. It was pretty good. The texture was great. Like, because it was like, you know when you... It was kind of like frozen, so it was a little bit soft, but it was a little bit crunchy.
Yeah.
It's a very nice texture. It wasn't that hard to make too.
Yeah.
Like, you just got to make sure the whey is thick enough to glue the cereal together.
That's where the casein comes in.
Yeah. And you got to pick the right cereal too. Like, because you can't have like something that's too small.
Yeah.
And it's got to be the right shape.
Yeah.
So circles are where it's at.
We've been smashing the...
This is just ticking more boxes, guys.
Yeah, yeah. The wheat pillows. Is that what they're called?
Wheat pillows.
Weed pillows.
Wheat.
It's like, where are we going?
Wait, and cereal?
Amy just walked in. I have to just yell out and ask her what the cereal is.
Wheat pillows?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I know what the shape you're talking about is.
What are they? Fruit pillows. Fruity pillows. They're pillows. A cereal.
Yeah, so it's got fruit on the inside. Yeah. And then, I know what you're talking about.
You used to be able to get them and they were like branny with the jam and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't do that anymore.
I used to eat those for breakfast.
Those are so good.
It's called a fruit pillow and it's similar, but not quite the same. So we've been smashing it. Yeah. I reckon that in the mousse would actually be pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mini wheats.
Oh, I used to smash mini
wheats. Yeah. So it's the...
Oh, they're hectic.
Yeah. So whatever they used to put in them, they're not allowed to use anymore.
It's not good enough
for you. That's why we can't buy them.
Too much sugar.
Or like there'll be a colour or artificial sweetener or some
just
shit.
Something that's going to kill you.
Yeah, yeah. Or just like people didn't buy them.
Yeah.
But yeah, that we've been on that. I reckon that in the mousse wouldn't be bad either.
Yeah.
I fucking love cereal.
Cereal is...
Cereal's the best amazing.
Yeah. Well, it's you can have it breakfast, you can have it for lunch, you could even have it for dinner.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
It ticks all the boxes. Yeah, I used to laugh at people when they used to tell me they had like Weet-Bix for dinner.
Mm.
How naive.
Yeah, now you're like, it sounds amazing.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, sounds great.
2 minute prep. Yeah.
Bit of sugar. Carbohydrates. Bit of sugar, bit of whey.
Protein, done.
Perfectly balanced meal in 2 minutes.
Throw an apple on top.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. Eat a spinach leaf on the side.
Vegetables and fruit. I am health.
Yeah, getting my 5 serves right.
I had one of those Coles protein meals yesterday.
Yep.
I can't remember what they're called.
Perform?
Yeah.
Perform or
fucking
Proform.
Trash.
Is it a frozen meal?
Not as... Which one did you have? I mean, they're not that good.
It was gravy and vegetables and beef.
Oh, yeah. Shit.
It was shit.
That sounds dangerous.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
Lift your game.
It was shit.
Lift your game, Coles.
Yeah, yeah. It was not a fan.
Yeah.
Core
is goat.
The meal game is extensive.
Mm.
I reckon I liken it to, there's been a rise like there was with diet soda.
Yep.
Because there was, you could only get like 2 or 3 different diet sodas and you were just like stuck with Diet Solo as like the goat.
Yeah.
But now it's a price game.
Correct. Whatever's
core,
on.
Core is winning.
So yeah, but with the meals, it's the same. Like it's starting to, there's a new brand every week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trying to capitalize on it.
Yeah. Mm. Well, it's still like you do the math. Still way cheaper. Like, I know now if Steph
$7 a meal, man.
If Steph goes out and she's like, oh, you just have to make your own dinner, I'm just driving to the supermarket, grabbing 1 or 2 of those. Because even if I ate 2,
yeah,
which I wouldn't, sometimes.
It's like 800
calories. 800
calories,
and it's like $16.
Yeah.
You still can't buy a meal with that kind of macros.
Yeah.
For $16.
Yeah.
Yeah. Elite.
I agree.
And when you travel,
it's like game changer.
Yeah, the best way to travel.
Yeah. 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 Still sticking to my panko crumbs though, to be honest.
Oh yeah.
Every day.
I'll have to try them out. We get schnitzels, but they're like just, you know,
normal schnitzels.
Pleb breadcrumbs. Yeah. Are they great?
Breaded.
Do you have your, what do you eat with your schnitzel? Like, is it just, like, do you put in a wrap or you just eat the schnitzel on its own?
Rice and frozen veg.
Yeah. So we've been having wraps.
So I made wraps when I did my drive to Sydney. That was my meal prep because I couldn't take core meals.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No good.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of wraps. Bit of chipotle sauce, the Master Foods one.
Yeah.
Because it's like mayonnaise.
Yeah.
I know you don't like jalapenos. Jalapenos, but a couple of jalapenos in there.
I like jalapenos.
Yeah, just a couple of jalapenos, yep. And then...
Ben's a spice man now.
Yeah.
Hot sauce.
Hectic.
Yeah, hot sauce. Yeah, so I have it with rice and vegetables, but I also have the Byron Bay habanero.
The hot sauce. That one's good too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And barbecue sauce.
That's got a decent amount of spice to it, that one.
It,
like you can hold your head
high.
If
you overdo it. It
sensitive Ben coming at you.
Yeah, it's like you want like every grain of rice to have sauce on it.
Yeah.
But then sometimes that means too much.
Yeah, you shouldn't do that with chili sauce
because there's like a big chunk of it on that piece of chicken and it's gonna fuck you up.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a take the tissues to the table food.
Are you on the washing the rice wagon? You a rice washer?
It tells me to on the Thermomix and I don't.
Yeah, so. hear me out. So I never used to wash the rice,
mm-hmm.
and I used to talk shit about basmati everything, right?
Yeah.
And then I went to Giannis's place for dinner, mm-hmm. and he washed the rice 3 times, mm-hmm. thoroughly washed it so the water's clear, bro. Please do it.
Look,
do it once, and you can decide whether you like it or not.
Let me tell you how little friction there is between me and washing my rice. So the Thermomix is a big jug, right?
Yeah,
big jug of water. In the jug of water, you sit a basket.
Mm.
And in the basket, you put the rice, and it has holes in it. So I would literally just have to take one step, turn the tap on, and just rinse it.
You're missing out. Put it in. I've lost respect for you.
And I'm like, wash rice? Nah.
I know. I understand you. I really do. I have a lot more friction to that.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
All right. I'm going to do it.
Because it doesn't have... It can sit in the rice cooker for longer as well.
Because
I like, if I'm eating lots of rice for that day, so I might need it for lunch and the second meal and dinner. So sometimes I eat 3 meals of rice a day. I can just sit it in the rice cooker all day. Because like rice can sit in the rice cooker for like 12 hours, right?
Okay.
Yeah. I think. And then after that, it's like...
In a bit.
Dangerous. Yeah, you're going to die.
Yeah, yeah. Salmonella.
But it doesn't have that like claggy, barky kind of sticky shit because you washed it away.
Interesting.
You just got to try it.
I'll let you know next week.
Yeah.
Next Wednesday.
Good.
We'll talk about it.
I'm excited for you.
Washed my rice. Does it taste better or is just textures better? What was the experience?
The texture's better, so it tastes better.
Okay.
Because it's more separated and it's not as...
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's almost like
to use as much hot sauce.
It's almost like it's got this chalky film on it and it's like nice and fluffy. It's soft.
Yeah.
But they're like still separate in terms of their rice.
Giannis is the most secretly wholesome person I know.
Very wholesome. His whole family comes across
like this, like
hectic,
loud,
hectic walk.
Yeah, yeah. And he's just, and then he's just like every. He always like any time I post Amy, it's like the only time he interacts with my.
Very wholesome man.
Yeah,
whole family's wholesome.
Yeah,
very wholesome people.
Shouts out Giannis.
Yeah, agreed. Wholesome.
Do you want some topics?
I do. Hit me.
All right. So I thought this week we would just talk about. So I've had 8 calls this week.
Yeah,
we just talk about the topics that we talked about in the calls.
Sure.
I thought that would be fun.
Awesome.
So it's really interesting. I had back-to-back calls on Wednesday morning. 2 different people doing the same thing, like a lead magnet focused marketing campaign, with the exact opposite problem. And I was fascinated by it.
Okay.
So no surprise, the male, super... direct information, here's the thing, here's the thing, here's the thing. The woman,
here's me, this is my life, this is what I do, this is my personality.
Yeah.
So I had to be like, you need more personality and you need more structure.
Thing. Yeah.
So it just got me thinking like where that balance actually is. Because that's something I've been working on with Crystal heaps is like, I basically went to her and was like, okay, I need to do, I've spent the last 8 years selling coaching or a product or something on my social media.
Mm.
Now I'm personally pretty much booked out and I'm getting enough referrals and stuff that I don't really need to sell the product anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd like to reflect really positively to my business.
Yeah.
The way that a Hattie does for a sports model or Jordan does for Prescript.
Like, yeah.
That's kind of the goal, to be the personality that people are attracted to. And then obviously that funnels into the business, both fit and learn. So how much, I am curious how much thought you put into, because I feel like your content has shifted a little bit into more, we've been trying to be ourselves a lot more in content in general.
Yeah.
But showing a little bit more of life as well.
Yeah.
Have you done that on purpose?
Yeah, I've done it because you were doing it. So I think how do I articulate this? So coming out of the gym, trying to get full book clients online, it was all like authority, 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 authority as an online coach.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was like content was heavily around me. As the I do, and then my clients is like I do with, and then showing those long-term results, which is they can do it themselves kind of thing. So, yeah, like I think at the now with the shift forward, we've always been told to like, you know, show your personality and show what else you do and show the things that you like to do and all that stuff. But I never did it. I kind of was like, I just need to be the bodybuilder.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think now it's like trying to show other elements. And I guess like for me, I just thought like showing what I do outside of the gym was like a bit of a, like I was showing off.
Yeah.
So I never really did it.
Yeah.
And then like Jess, Jackson, a few of the other people are like, I like seeing what you do.
Yeah.
And what you have and how you operate, you know, because I can't remember who said it. And they were like, you have everything that I want.
Yeah.
And I was just like, what?
Yeah.
Because I don't understand. I don't understand that.
Yeah.
Because that's like, I have what I have.
That's verbatim what Crystal said to me was like using Hattie as an example. It's like Hattie just talks about being Hattie and being Hattie's fucking cool.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, I want to be like that.
Now. Yeah. Yeah. So that was a really big wake up call. I think when we went to Sydney, I can't remember who said it. One of the boys maybe. But anyway, and I was like, okay, so you had that chat with Crystal, debriefed it with us.
Mm.
Then the boys and Jess said that.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, there's something here.
Mm.
So we have to just mold it right. Because I still really like being
the guy,
the bodybuilding guy.
Yeah.
Like I like it a lot. And I like showing people I can do it myself. And I like showing that I can help other people do it. But I am enjoying like, this is what I did on the weekend and this is what... stuff totally unrelated to bodybuilding.
Yeah.
That we're doing and stuff. I probably need to like just refine it a little bit more.
Yeah.
Let people in a bit more too.
I actually had one of my clients, I think she forwarded a story or just randomly messaged me. And I don't think you had captions. I didn't actually listen to the story. It was just you driving somewhere.
Yeah.
And I assumed maybe it was like...
Just talking about the gym.
Botox or something, maybe? Or
oh, no? Yeah. I was getting Botox. Yeah.
So she messaged me. She's like, Jason's so bougie and I'm fucking here for it. I love
it. Was that Katie? I think.
Yeah.
She said that to me and I'm like, I like what I like.
Yeah. So it is. People are like, oh, it's cool.
I'm not afraid to let people... And then like the engagement thing when you were like, the likes are gone. Like,
yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah.
And we're like, we need people engaging with us. I was like, well, the only way we... get people to engage is like if you actually let them know about the things that they do and think and say as well.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, fuck it, man. Like, I get Botox. Guess what? I'm going back in a month to get my jaw done.
Yeah.
Like, who cares?
Yeah.
You know, like everybody does it.
Yeah.
So the amount of people that were like, oh, good on you for being open about it. I was like, fucking open about it. It's like Well, you think someone magically rocks up one day with like a set of cans and you're just like, oh, how'd they come? Like, you know what I mean? It's like people will say and do and all that kind of stuff, but it's like you can't talk about getting things like that. I was like, screw it. I'm just going to be really kind of transparent. And yeah, some people were like, good on you for doing that. Yep. So I was like, well, if that's enough confidence to have, to get other people to do it, and even just that interaction, I was like, all right, I'm winning here. Like, yeah. This is, you know.
And then you had me in the barber chair yesterday looking in the mirror going, maybe I should look into Botox. What is this fucking line here?
It's a fucking slippery slope, man. It's like, as soon as you frown, you're just like, I want all of it gone.
Make it go away.
Just like, I'm actually really upset right now. Yeah, and I watched this, so outside of the debrief of Crystal and, the conversations and stuff with you and the boys and Jess, I watched this. There's this guy that I follow on Instagram, and he's actually pretty cool. Like, I don't know. You know when you just like kind of get a good vibe from someone. Like, I'd like to think I'm a good judge of character. Mm-hmm. And this dude, I just have like, there's no like, I don't get this like he's trying to sell me shit.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. And he was just like, if you look at these are all of the content creators that are killing it right now. Mm-hmm. And he's like, what's the commonality? And it was all like, this is my life.
Yeah.
Yeah. And one kid who's really kind of skyrocketed to like social media stardom is a kid called Sam Sulek. Mm-hmm. And he's Fuad sponsors him, so Hostile sponsor him. And he's literally like this young kid who just wants to get jacked.
Yeah.
And he just like literally just has a camera in his car. Yeah. And he has like this old piece of shit that he loves.
Yeah.
And he just he drives to the gym with his fucking microphone in his hat. Yeah. And he just talks about what he's going to do at the gym.
Yeah.
And he literally gets on average, he posts nearly every day, he gets on average 600,000 views in like 2 or 3 days.
That's wild.
Yeah. So like, and it's literally just like
him.
Oh, this is what I'm feeling today. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to change this up. I don't really feel like this. So I just ate that.
Yeah. That's cool.
And I was like, that's where it's at.
Yeah.
Just talking about doing the thing.
Yeah. You know? And it's interesting. We had the conversation too, like interesting people do interesting things.
Yeah.
So it's like getting yourself to go places, do stuff that maybe you wouldn't. And I was kind of going back and forth with my client. Like, I don't want you to start thinking about your whole life as content.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want you to just like, just go to this cafe because I can put it on Instagram. You don't have to be that.
Yeah.
But he's in a position at the moment where it's just like, it's grind time. Mm. Like, works, sleeps, trains, that's it. And I sort of said to him, like, we just spent a week talking about that. That we do that and we feel like none of our friends do it. So, we're lonely.
Yeah.
So, I said, if like, you're at home at 8:30 on a Saturday night, so is everyone else that's doing that.
Just like you. Yeah.
So, if you just post you, your partner, your dog, on a Saturday night, hanging out, all the other people that are at home on Saturday night on their phone also will be like, yeah, fucking oath, bro. I'm doing the same. Got to train tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I was like, I would want to hang out with you.
Yeah.
If I saw that, because that's what I do.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, yeah. Like, you see the penny start to drop. You don't actually have to, like, go and do, it's easy, especially at the moment. Like, I've had too much content.
Yeah.
Like, what do I put out this week?
Yeah.
Fucking 18 photo shoots, 2 liftoffs, 3 trips to Sydney. It's like, what?
Yeah.
Chris was like, only post 4 days a week. I'm like, I've got 18 posts for a week.
Yeah.
Like, how do I prioritize?
Isn't that crazy coming from, I got to post every day for 30 months?
Yeah, 30 days. Yeah. 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 And now I'm like, there's too much shit to document.
Gary Vee's like, post 4 times a day.
Yeah. Fuck that. So yeah, it's interesting. I think you can lean into. Mm-hmm. So Adam put up a video of him like training in the heat the day after the heat, and was just like, everything feels so heavy.
Yeah.
Like in the caption. And I was like, all you have to change is instead of showing the deadlift video and saying today was hard, just turn the phone around and say, is anyone else fucked from the heat yesterday?
Mm.
Totally different. Everyone in Melbourne would have been like, bruh, like smoked. Yeah. So it's just looking at it through a different lens to open the door for conversation.
Yeah.
How can I turn this post into something that's conversational? I'm still finding it challenging because we did so long of the informative reel
through
COVID and trying to turn it into something that's like,
Do you guys ever like that?
Yeah.
That's the opening line, not you should.
Yeah.
Or do you feel like, you know, it's like, yeah. Do you guys ever feel this, or has this ever happened to you?
Yeah, I find that hard to get on the story post. Sorry, not on the story post, on like your feed, like your actual posts.
I don't think it matters. So this is my theory.
Stories, it's pretty easy.
I think content is content.
Yeah.
Crystal's kind of role with me at the moment is like highlights. So it's a reel of a highlight of a thing.
Yeah.
So she gets a bunch of videos, she makes the thing, and we're good to go.
Mm.
Thankfully, we're doing enough cool shit that works.
Yeah.
But the core content still comes from Fit. I do one carousel a week. Yeah. Or comes from Learn. And it's deliberate, this is what I do type content. So it's still authority-based, I think, the posts.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe some I've still been doing that. But I think... then the story is like I've just... The stories have come back where I was just like, yeah, stories are dead. Fucking everyone's doing them. No one watches them. But people watch them.
Yeah.
Because everyone knows what you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's how
everyone knows I broke the seatbelt. Everyone.
Yeah. So it's how do you get them to message you about it?
Yeah. It's how you talk.
Yeah.
It's the relatability part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because then, I've had the other thing, the other side, with my other client that was like, I was looking at the page and I'm like, I like you. I would go train with you and I think you're really cool. I wouldn't buy anything because there's nothing to buy.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know what you do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm like, you're not going to get, and that's it, because sometimes you fall on the other side of it where it's like, well, every post has to get maximum interactions, maximum traction, maximum likes, maximum feedback, like the seatbelt, but no one buys the program because you broke the seatbelt.
No.
You still have to tell them you're a coach and what you do and show some authority.
Yeah.
So there has to be, I think the feed is predominantly with some, and then the story is the opposite.
Yeah.
Feed is predominantly authority with some relatability. Story is relatability mostly with a little bit of authority sprinkled in.
Mm.
Even if the authority part is just like showing your clients.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah. It was just to see two personality types execute.
Well, I was going to say, get the blend right is going to be tough.
At the end of the spectrums, yeah.
Because if you're someone who prides yourself, because everyone's going to like...
You'll lean one way or the other.
Naturally lean is the better way of saying it. Yeah. You know, some people are going to lean more towards the educational, informative style because they feel most comfortable with that.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you look at it from our perspective, like we always very, very comfortable with that stuff.
Yeah.
And there was never like, you know, we put out shit that was fucking literally factually incorrect, but we're still like,
with confidence, it doesn't matter.
That's what we got told at the time.
Yeah.
We're like leaning into the personality that was always just like, you know, I'm not really that kind of person. Like, no one's, I'm not interesting enough for people to want to, you know, kind of relate to me and what I do and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I think people are going to naturally probably sit on either side of the fence. And the tricky part is getting the balance right.
Yeah.
Because the people that are more relatable, personality, whatever, they're probably going to have fears of putting out informative content for the judgment.
Yeah.
And then the person who puts out the informative content is probably going to have fears of looking like a dickhead.
Yeah.
Trying to be relatable. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, look at this guy. Like, that's not who he is.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, what is actually who he is?
Yeah. And the community-based one is scared that if I put out factual content, my friends will think I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, I think with what's made it more easy to be ourselves, or I know for me personally, is like when Tam captures us just doing shit without him knowing.
Yeah.
Without us knowing he's there. So that's like the snapshot of who you are.
Yeah.
You know, and even us here, like just doing this.
After 2 minutes, you forget the mic.
It's not scripted.
Yeah.
There's no plan, guys. There never is. We have like notes in our phone that have like three words on them.
Yeah. My notes are the coaches I tagged yesterday. It's like, what did I talk to them about?
Yeah. So this is like a very, very good example of, you know, kind of who we are. And I think if you are somebody who struggles with the personality side of things, maybe think about what are ways where you can feel comfortable.
Yeah. And capture.
And capture yourself and then just see that is you and how you react and the fact that no one is going to fucking come after you. Because most people are feared of, are fearful of the pitchforks, right?
Yeah.
It's always like the pitchforks and the lanterns, like they're coming for us. Like if I say this or act this way, you know, and that's either side. It's like the person who's, it's their personality or the person with the information. So I think if you can get over that hump, whichever one it is, it's just momentum.
Yeah.
You know, building that momentum and getting comfortable making the content.
Yeah. It was fun. It was a fun 2 hours because it was literally back to back.
Yeah. So, yeah, you'd be like, you need to do this and you need to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, can you just help each other? Yeah. Like,
Swap the lead magnet. Done. Yeah. Blend it together.
So before we keep going, I just want to give you guys a little message about our Standout PT program. So Standout PT has been designed for personal trainers who want to sustain a long-term career in fitness, but right now they're sick of chasing clients, they're not making enough time for money, and they're super frustrated with the results that they're getting in their business, and they can't see themselves being here in 3 to 5 years' time. If you want to know more about the Standout PT program, head to stcfitlearning.com, head to programs, and all the details are there. And you can book in your free exploration call where we can have a look and see whether or not that would actually be a suitable program for where your business is at right now. And back to the episode. So my next session was being working together now, I only think like 4 weeks, 3 months in the gym, put on 8 clients.
Amazing.
All of them 2 sessions a week. And like in an environment where there was no induction, the course was all online, 0 sales training, 0 business experience, in a gym where no one runs a business, like just 0 exposure.
Yeah.
And just like the first day I sat down was just like, you need terms and conditions, you need direct debit, you need a sales process. You need to double your price.
Yeah.
And just like eyes coming out of her head. Like, what the fuck are you saying right now?
Yeah. Even the, like I would argue the belief at that time. Because, you know, I said yesterday in Mastermind, I was like, you know, when you just say, someone says shit to you and you just agree with it in the back of your head, you're like, that's not going to fucking fly.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, and like now it's like the direct debit's ready, but it hasn't gone out.
Yeah.
It's like, get it out because you're going to want it at Christmas time because no one's going to bank transfer you come Christmas
100%.
Time. 100%. So it's fascinating and like works out of a Pilates studio as well. So like has hours there and she's like basically gone from no idea how to get a client to doubling her prices and selling out in like 6 weeks.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's like, wow. And it's at the gym that I train at and I've always said to you like I'd love to just...
Yeah.
Just go in there for 12 weeks.
Do
just,
sessions.
Just to see.
Building a PT
chaos
session.
I could fucking
building
create.
A PT business in a gym is like the ultimate, like, it's not hard.
Yeah, for us not, now, yeah, it's just like.
It'd be almost fun. It'd almost be like, how quick can you get off the gym? How quick can you get off? How quick can you make $2,000 a week?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, the even the gym, like, they don't do, there's no rent. But you have to do gym 4 time, and in the gym 4 time, you have to do assessments, and then when you do the assessment, you write a program.
Awesome.
So I was like, okay, so what's the criteria of the assessment?
Yeah.
And then I basically built, so the way we do our consults, for those that haven't heard us talk about it before, it's like you do the consultation, like rapport building, basically, why are you here? And then goals, main obstacles is like 80% of the consultation. And then whatever else you would need to know to write a program for them. Then we do a value add. Usually it's like a food recall or explaining the difference between fat loss or weight loss, something like that, depending on the person that's in front of you. So I was like, okay. So while you're doing your fucking sit and reach test, because the gym wants you to, and you have to tell them you've done it, you're going to do a food recall at the same time. So you're going to do the assessment and do a food recall at the same time. And then at the end, you're going to say, we'll come back and we'll do a training session. Which is 100%. It's 8 from 8.
Yeah.
All at 2 sessions.
No one books a fitness assessment who's not interested in getting results.
Yeah. And then
it's literally
you have the first person ever. They've probably, say they've been to 3 of those at the gym to get a program each time. And then the trainer actually goes, so what are your biggest obstacles?
Yeah. How can I actually help you?
And you're like, oh, this isn't just like sets and reps on a piece of paper. It's like push-pull leg cardio. Like, it's so easy to...
On the same fucking cardboard that...
in the drawer that you never fucking open that every gym has. Yeah,
that someone took your fucking program and now you're pissed off about.
so it's just like, we're just watching the stuff we talk about play out. And then watching the confidence build every week too.
Yeah, it's once you win once.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like the first week we did calls. 2-3 appointments. One didn't show up. And no, the first week she had 3, none of them showed up.
Yeah.
And I was like, what was your confirmation process? She's like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
I was like, okay. So now we in the moment, set up Calendly, set up reminders, set up bam, 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 bang. Next week, again, 3, 2 came, both. And then I was like, you never sell one session a week. Like our sales process, like you show the 2, you show the 3. Most people do 2 because you want to do 2 with everyone.
Yeah.
And just every single one of them.
2.
100%. Perfect. I was like, she's like, I got 8, like 4 sessions last week.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah. Of course you did.
Yeah.
You followed the thing. It happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was so cool. And then like, even with the direct debit, like there was so much
pushback
for weeks.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, okay, I get it. I understand now. Cause, and then we did the budgeting thing and I was like, so when you have direct debit, you just put a number in here and all of this happens.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh. Yep. Yeah. I'm like, you're not looking at your bank account. Did such and such pay. Yeah.
Chasing them up. All over the place. Shit. Yeah, it's awful.
Yeah. And then I was like, so you got 5 clients now. Imagine when you have 20 clients. Mm. And she was like, oh, yeah, I get it. I see.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can see the matrix here.
Yeah.
And yeah, now going through, for her now, it's, we're hoping that she'll get to the programming workshop next week. And then social media. Yeah. Just like being confident enough to actually put out any form of information.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, doesn't have to be complex. Speak in your client's language. You know more than your clients.
Yep.
You've been a Pilates instructor for fucking 100%. 3 years. You know what you're doing.
Yep. That must be so refreshing for you.
It's pretty fun.
Seeing the basics work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I reckon that's the funnest. Yeah.
And I haven't mentored someone to that level, like with that closely.
Yeah.
For so long at that level.
Yeah. That's the most impactful part though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you don't get that going and there's none of this there's like, how do you scale your business? Yeah. How do you take it from, you know, 5 figures to 6 to multiple 6, like one person to 3, you can't.
Yeah.
So it's like that's in somewhat like the most rewarding
too. Yeah.
Like it's all rewarding, but you know what I mean? Like it just has the most weight on it.
Yeah.
It's a foundation. It's
make or break shit.
And it's so funny. So I did Pilates, that month of Pilates that I did twice a week, and this client of mine was one of the instructors. The first session I walked out, I took 2 steps out the door and I looked at Amy and like, she's got it.
Yeah.
That instructor has it. She doesn't know she has it, but she has it.
Yeah.
And I can't even tell you what it is.
Yeah.
There's just a...
It's the X factor.
It's just there.
Yeah. I think you can.
It's like
energy.
Attention to detail. It's energy. Yeah. It's confidence in that room.
Communication. Yeah.
The exercise selection.
Yeah. You can't bring it down to a thing, but you can describe what it is.
Yeah. And I was just like,
essence, yeah.
She can be good at whatever she chooses.
Teach her the skill. She has everything else.
So 2 months later, 3 months later, we're like, not sure what we're going to do with like Amy's Pilates is starting to get a little bit clunky. Can't lay on her back for too long, blah, blah, blah. And then like she came to the gym with me once. And I walked past the trainer board and that instructor was there. Apparently, it had been up for 2 days. And I was like, she's a trainee here.
Yeah.
Message her. Done. And then, that was it off the back of that. Yeah. So, it's just like you can just see in people sometimes just like you have it. You just don't know yet.
Yeah. And then you just need to stack your own proof and you'll just become better and better.
Yeah. You're just in a foreign environment. But when that comes out of you,
The wins are so important, eh?
Yeah.
It's when you're so raw and you don't have that confidence.
Yeah.
You just need wins to let it all just amplify.
Yeah.
Like if she's got it,
we
can see it. But you have that voice in your head of like, I don't.
Yeah.
This is your normal.
Yeah.
So then once you win, it just brings out your true colors and it's like, fuck man, for some people, it almost just makes them unstoppable.
Yeah.
Because the belief, once you have all the raw skills, if the belief is there, what else do you need?
Yeah.
Like, and you got the system too, right? Of course, because you can have all that stuff and just like follow a path that's just
yeah
not it.
Yeah, and it's funny because she's one of the girls that's like, Jess is the hero.
Yeah.
Like, just idolizes her because she's younger.
Yeah,
just
of course.
Looks up and is yeah. like, you're fucking weapon in the gym, business, mom and business, like doing it all sort of thing. And it, I reckon it was maybe the second session I was like, you can be that.
Oh, totally.
You can be at Jess's level because you just have it.
Yeah.
You just, I was like, you just need 6 months to get to level one and then a few years of winning. And it's like, you'll,
yeah, just there. Choose whatever you want to do.
You're there.
Because you have it.
Yeah, it's cool. Mm. It's cool to catch someone at that spot too where they're not dejected.
Yeah.
Like, already lost so much. So like, fuck, this is shit. That won't work.
Yeah. Yeah. And they, you need to turn things around quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Next one. So we're going opposite ends of the scale, right?
Yep.
So we've gone from first week to someone who messaged me. They had their first five-figure month.
Awesome.
Last month.
Amazing.
And I was like, that happened in the same day. So talk to the same person. I was like, this is fucking wild. This is sick.
Amazing.
But one person's celebrating making their first grand and the other one's like, I made 10 grand this month.
Yeah.
It's
unreal.
Yeah, it was really, really cool. Struggle, and this is, I'm actually going to pass this to you more than anything. At a crossroads with starting to get known for a skill set that he doesn't actually want to do.
Interesting.
It's getting lots of, so they've been involved in our liftoffs and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, also has a couple of high level competitors that have done really well.
Yeah.
And because of that, it's attracting other more
people,
of it.
Of course. Because it's results breed.
Yeah.
Attract people.
And it's super hot in the city that they're in at the moment.
Yeah.
But wants to be a physique coach.
Know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. So it's like, he's like, I don't know
what to do.
Well, I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Because he's one of his other trainer also wants to be a comp prep coach. The other one's still sort of figuring it out. Bit S&C, bit gen pop, bit bodybuilding, bit.
Yeah, just trying everything and seeing what sticks.
Yeah, maybe he doesn't have the reps under his belt yet with his own training to really know what, like my post about passions. Like, you don't know yet.
Yeah.
Do a hard thing for a year and then you'll know if you're passionate.
100%, yeah.
So he's like, I don't know what to do. In the back of my mind, I was like, you can just send them all to me. I'll coach them all. Obviously didn't say that.
Yeah.
That was my thoughts. Just like, start refusing him.
Yeah. And it's like,
Which feels
but
tough.
Then you're running a business.
Yeah.
You know, it's going away work. It becomes a wild sort of thing. So it's, I guess it's just like what you're portraying.
Yeah.
And my solution was basically just like the way I got an even spread of both was every time someone did a lift off, they also did a photo shoot.
Yeah.
And that was like the culture.
Yeah.
It's like you're working towards a body composition result and getting strong at all times. Mm. So then at least for me, it was like mine was probably 70-30.
Yeah.
70% strength because that's what I did.
Mm.
That's what I lived and breathed and trained
and
posted about the most, and I competed, and so it was always going to be skewed in that direction.
Mm.
But because I was focused on both outcomes with my clients, I had maybe 70-30 split, and I would say probably for you doing liftoffs photo shoots at that time,
I had a fair few.
You were probably 30-70 strength into physique.
Yeah, I had a fair few strength athletes at one point.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
So I feel like, but because you were bodybuilding, and you were posting your training and you were focused on that, talking about that very specifically.
Yeah.
Your skew was the other way.
You can keep the messaging very clear.
Yeah.
Yeah. The hardest part is when you get referrals. Like, because it's like, if you're getting results, other people who want those results
come to you.
Are going to come to you.
Yeah.
So it's a really big testament that this person's doing a great job. So good job, bro.
Yeah.
Because they wouldn't come to you if they weren't seeing other people do
well.
You know, well in powerlifting, for example.
And beyond that, like you as a coach.
Correct. Yeah. So that's going to be a real tough one because it's not like they're coming to you for the messaging.
Mm.
In a lot of cases, they're coming to you because they see you getting results doing the thing, which means you're good at it. So that's going to be a tough one to be like, you know, I need to get my clients worse at the job.
Less good at Paladin.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, just like 9 red lights so no one comes to me kind of thing, right? It's going to be a really tough one there.
Yeah.
But you can definitely change, like you said, like just that messaging from you as a personal brand.
Yeah.
Like you do bodybuilding, you're a physique coach. Like this is, you know, the things you solve and you know, the obstacles that people that you work with you face. It sounds like at the moment though, you're probably in a little bit of a situation where you've got to like just take a big bite of everything until you have the ability to put someone under you that is the powerlifting coach per se, you know, if that's what you want to do. The other thing to consider, like, because I know this person and I know the business, the name of the business is a big deal.
Yeah, it's challenging, hey?
Yeah, and it's like, it literally...
Yeah, yeah. It's literally powerlifting.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, like just thinking about it from a zoom out kind of perspective, if you like just even say the name of the business, it sounds like a powerlifting company.
Yeah. Yeah, it's challenging.
Yeah. So you'd have to do a lot of work from a branding and messaging perspective to really distinguish like, we have all of these things.
Yeah.
And I do this.
Yeah.
That's what I would say.
Mm.
That's a good point.
Yeah, because one of the cool things about our business is everyone's like, what the fuck's the name?
Yeah.
What is it?
We don't know.
We don't know. But everyone knows what we do.
Yeah.
Everyone knows we're all...
It's actually positive. It's funny how many people come to us and they're like, the name, what should I call it? And it's like something totally arbitrary because then you can be whatever you want whenever you want.
Mm. Yeah. Especially the bigger you get, I think that's a big deal. Because I've always like... You know, just like played around. I'm like, you know, like it'd be cool to have like a bodybuilding name and all that kind of shit. Like your mind wanders and it's like, what would it be, you know?
Yeah.
But then it's like you said, it's like you've burrowed.
Yeah. And then you walk into the group class gym and be like, hey, we're going to help you out with business. And it's called fucking Atlas Pose. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to work. What are you fucking talking about?
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
Yeah.
That's the best I could come up with.
Yeah. Old school muscle.
Yeah.
That's the one I did.
Yeah.
Patent pending.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I think.
And I think the challenging thing and the conversation we have is like the barrier to entry for powerlifting is lower than bodybuilding.
Yeah, so more people can do it.
Yeah, but I think I had just as many people do photo shoots as I did do lift offs, and I was a powerlifting coach.
Yeah.
So I think you can create a low barrier of entry for people to pursue physique improvement. And I think your goal, at least the way I've always ran my business, is I'd rather turn someone into A rather than try and get A.
Yeah, yeah.
So like I want someone to come to me who's got...
Especially at the start.
Aspirations to become a powerlifter. Even now, like someone who's already a powerlifter comes to me, it's like... Mm.
But you're going to attract more of them than turn people into them now. Like I don't turn anyone into anything. Like it's just like I want to be this.
Yeah.
I turn them into a fucking awesome physique, but
they want to be a bodybuilder already.
They're not like I'm just finding my feet and working it out type thing.
Yeah. I'm interested in strength training, I don't know if I want to compete.
Yeah.
It's probably the most common one.
Yeah.
But
this person wants
competitors.
Yeah.
So
it's hard though, because I get it.
I think if you want to be a specialist and you want 10 clients and you're just passionate about the thing and that's all you want to do, then you would just train bodybuilders. If you want to keep doing your 10K, so it was a week. Not I said a month before 10K weeks.
Yeah.
If you want to keep doing that, I think you need to build them. So the same way I go, we're going to do a lift off, and then of that lift off, 50% of those clients are maybe going to go do a meet, and then 50% of them are actually going to do another meet.
Yeah.
And then some of those are going to make nationals.
Yeah.
Like there's this funnel almost I liked it, but I'm happy just doing lift offs. So I don't want to buy a soft suit and wear a onesie in front of people and shit. And then I tried the comp thing. Wasn't really for me. I'd like to try something different now. And then you've got people who are like, I'm happy to do this for the next 5 years. If I was becoming a physique coach, if I was going to advise someone to do it, whatever, I would be looking for every client in the gym who wants to improve their physique, period.
Yeah.
Whether it's for the beach, whether it's for a photo shoot, whether it's for just going to the gym or be fuckable. try and get all of them, get them into one thing that's an exposure. Yep. We're going to do a 12 to 16 week cut for X. Document the results. All right, so you did that. Do you want to do this next step?
Yeah.
Sweet. Now I've got three people going to the stage because they all did a hard photo shoot. They liked it. Now they're doing it.
Yeah.
Like I had fucking, granted it was like a pageant. It wasn't. I could have taken all of the, I reckon I could have got all the girls that did FBME over those 2 years, so eight of them, to a bikini stage.
Yeah.
Which is, I chose a different pursuit.
Yeah.
Because it was like lower entry for them, wasn't going to be as crazy. They had other goals. A couple of them were still powerlifting. It was just like, let's just do this. And then like a couple of them wanted to go on and do bikini shows and stuff after that. So I think you can guide people through that journey and end up with a really solid team of competitors.
Yeah, no doubt.
Which I feel like that's what you're doing at the moment too. If I look at the competitive lineup you have next year, you have a couple of people that came to you specifically to compete, but you also have a handful of people that came to you because they just wanted to look like weapons, maybe compete, and now it's like, we're doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, I got a lot of them that came to me to compete though.
Yeah.
Now.
Higher, yeah.
Yeah. But what, at the start it wasn't.
Would you agree with that pathway that's got you to the point correct. Now that's like people
so,
come
yeah,
to?
Yeah, I was going to say, so we go back to like similar stages of career to mm-hmm. this particular individual.
Yeah.
I was creating them, no doubt.
Yeah.
And that's like, oh, you should.
Yeah.
Have you thought about this? Mm-hmm. 100% agree with you.
Yeah.
So obviously this particular individual wants to get to that point where people come to you to compete.
To prep, yeah.
But I believe, yeah, the only way to do that is partly what you said, is like put people in that situation. And then I think you need to lean more into like creating opportunities for people who are interested in bodybuilding to work with you as well.
Mm.
So it's like put on workshops and stuff that are for bodybuilding.
Yeah.
Do, do content that's specifically for bodybuilding. Potentially sponsor people in your gym or athletes around the area or even online who with the sole pursuit of bodybuilding as an ambassador or something like that. Like if it's not happening as organically as you would like, you've got to go back to that drawing board and go, okay, well, how do I make that shift?
Yeah.
Because how you're behaving and how you're messaging and presenting yourself to the community isn't saying you're a bodybuilder.
Yeah.
Isn't saying you're a bodybuilding coach.
Yeah.
It's saying, like you said before, you're more of a powerlifting coach than you are a physique coach.
Yeah.
So you can change that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By just putting out more.
Yeah, I used to do it at the gym. Like, not everybody that I trained at the gym paid for it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I trained a couple of people. I was like, you're fucking an amazing shape. Like,
yeah.
I'm just going to train you.
Yeah, I've got ambassadors now.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, you got a good physique.
Yeah.
And yeah, like you're going to be a good representation of the people that I want to attract.
Yeah.
So I want to see you on the stories, on the page, etc.
Yeah.
So I think that's a really easy way to sway the messaging.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, creating opportunities for people to work with you is a good one too. Or even just to know who you are.
Yeah.
You know, like people, and like I've been especially guilty of this in the past, of just thinking like, you do something and it's going to happen straight away.
Mm.
Like you've got to play that game where it's like over time, people are going to see you for a specific outcome or you're a specialist in a specific thing. So it's like, even if you hold a bodybuilding workshop or you do a series of workshops, like maybe someone will see you in a year's time as the physique coach.
Yeah.
Like that, when I put that post of the muscle camp, right?
Yeah.
Like 10 years ago, you and I, like that technically that was before.
Congrats, bro.
Yeah, thank you, man. Technically that was before I was even, we were just working together.
Yeah. Well, that was the test run for the first app.
Yeah. Cause
the first website.
So we were just doing our own thing.
Yeah.
Like we weren't even working together.
Yeah.
And I just like, I wonder the muscle camp, the fat camps.
Yeah.
The workshops, the lift offs, all it's like, I don't wonder. I know all of those things solidified who we were to that community.
Yeah.
We were the people who were, you know, you went to get exceptional results.
Yeah.
You know, I used to have a reputation apparently that if you went to Jason, you lifted heavy.
Yeah.
That's what people thought of me as, the person who got everyone super strong and big and shit.
Which is cool.
And it's like, well, yeah, obviously that was because of how we behaved and represented ourselves. So yeah, I think there's a lot to that where I'm trying to not say his name. this person could change that and turn things around for even himself as a personal brand, not necessarily as a business.
Yeah. Yeah, it's walking the walk is gonna help for sure. Mm. Stepping on stage himself.
100%
gonna make a big difference. But yeah, I think like you said, putting forth evidence that you're the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just continuously putting forward, put it forward. And it's not here's me posing.
No, no.
It's I'm posing like this because I'm working on this because this session's done this way because me and my coach are working on this.
This is the main focus at the moment. Yeah. My diet's set
it's
up this way.
It's the guy driving to the gym with the microphone in his hand.
Yeah. It's like my diet's set up this way because I eat my meal. This is my pre-training meal because this is what I take intra-workout because this is what I take post-workout because.
Yeah.
There's so many ways to change it. And it's like a lot of people are probably doing bits of it now.
Yeah.
But they're not telling anyone because they don't think it matters.
Valuable, yeah.
But we were just saying before, it fucking matters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because I know...
Because the evidence-based content consumption phase is over.
Yeah.
You can find all of that information now.
Yeah. ChatGPT.
So I'm calling it... I'm labeling it the PhD in bro science.
Yeah.
And that is your lived experience of lifting.
Yeah.
So I have 20 years of lived experience lifting.
Yeah.
And all of that does mold my decisions for how I tackle my diet, how I tackle my training, how I tackle my deloads and everything. Even each day, how I tackle my sessions.
Yeah.
And people, you can't get that through a textbook.
Agreed.
And people want to know that shit too, because that's when you don't have to say it depends.
Yeah.
You can say, when I feel this way, I do this.
Yeah.
And people go,
yeah,
fuck, this guy's got like... so much experience.
Yeah.
So I don't have to just go with the dude who's got the piece of paper.
Yeah.
I would almost think lived experience in the game
more valuable
is way better than the piece of paper.
It's funny. I was just thinking back to like my competitive days. I used to obviously be in the DMs, like recruiting clients, basically building relationships as we call it.
Yeah.
And I would often get like, but I don't want to compete.
Mm.
So I'd be no good to you because I don't want to compete. Because I did that stuff about my own training so much, people were like, you just train competitors. Like, no, I compete.
Mm.
25% of my client base competes.
Yeah, which is pretty much what you want.
yeah, exactly. Because otherwise it becomes a fucking headache.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like that's literally how I built the reputation of the strength guy. And then it just happened that like they were also in shape.
Yeah.
And then it was like, oh, well, you do... both. And then I had to almost change my messaging to be like, I compete, my clients, some of them do, and I had to talk more about physique and stuff, than what I was doing with this person and why and all that kind of stuff. It's really interesting.
I feel like we fucking nailed that.
I think so.
Yeah
There's a bonus on top of the call yesterday. You get an extra fucking 30 minutes. What's up, guys? Another quick break. I just wanted to jump in and remind you guys about the STC Fit Learning Mentorship. Now, our mentorship's been running since about 2016, where we've developed trainers through their first year of business in personal training and allowed them to leapfrog the first 5 years of mistakes that we made. If you're currently studying, looking to finish in the next month or so, or you're looking for someone to help you out with mentoring and all that kind of stuff, jump on. Have a look at the details for the mentorship at stcfitlearning.com. Head to programs and mentorship and all the details are there. And you can come and be an STC Fit coach for an entire year. Includes all of our education and direct mentoring from our head coaches. Back to the episode. So the other one's like launching a product.
Yep.
Which I think a lot of people want to do. When should you? When shouldn't you?
When should you launch a product? I think once your flagship offer is locked down.
Yeah. So what we did was basically create a short-term, lower touch point opt-in
yeah,
at a lower price point with the intent, this is actually like a top of funnel kind of concept.
Mm.
When we're going through it, it was like, should we offer an introductory call or not?
Yeah.
Is it going to get calls on the way through? Should they just get like 15 minutes? This is what it is. Here you go. I'll see you
this
in a month.
This is what you need to do to get yourself set up. Yeah. I like that idea, to be honest.
Or should we do a full-blown exploration call, unpack, now here's my presentation. You can have the 8-week product, or you can move across to my coaching right now.
Yeah.
And you'll get this for free still because you're interested in it, but you get that as part of my premium coaching.
Amazing bonus.
So it was like the person I was working with was sort of like headstrong on this needs to be, like this is going to be the thing. And I was like, what actually affects, where are you in your business right now? Do you want more clients with less time? Is that how you want your business to look? Or do you want more, like what's the outcome of releasing it? She's like, well, I'd like people to sign up to coaching at the end.
Mm.
I'm like, sign them up at the start.
Yeah, 100%.
Because that's when they're the most motivated. If they don't make it through the program, you've lost them.
Yeah, and their ability to, their willingness to be upsold is the greatest at the start.
Yeah.
Because so they've made that commitment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So obviously we've just had Jess do her program.
Pre-season.
With a different intent because she was sold out.
Yeah.
She's converted some, but the intent wasn't, I need to do this to fill my book.
Yeah.
If it was, we would have done it like this.
Correct.
You get everything that you get in the preseason, and you get this premium service, and you get all of that for free for signing up. It's your reward. Mm. As like a, we used to call it trade-ins.
Mm.
We used to sell like 30-day passes to the gym.
Yeah, you traded in for 2 months or
whatever. Yeah. Free joining fee, no admin fee, whatever the fuck. Free kickstart.
Yeah.
The PTs loved that when they didn't pay for kickstarts.
Yeah.
So, yeah, in terms of like an entry-level service product challenge, most trainers would probably call it. We just avoid that word. You need to be really clear on what outcome you want.
Yeah, you can't just make a product for the sake of it. I think it has to sit inside the nexus of their other services. Like,
yeah,
it's like you said before, you if someone purchases a product off you, like it's great that you want it to, you provide something to help them, but it's like, what are they, the questions you have to ask yourself is like, why did they purchase the product in the first place? What problems is that solving? What problems is it creating?
Mm-hmm.
And can you solve the one that you've created already?
Yeah.
So that's where, if this particular individual wants coaching, her coaching books to be filled, that's that flagship offer has to be nailed down.
Yeah.
It has to be solid. It has to be set up. It has to have the proof of concept and all of that, so that you can, because it helps with the process, right?
Yeah.
Because if you ring somebody and you've got your premium service on lock and they've purchased this product and you can go, you know, this is what this does.
Yeah.
But you mentioned that you want to achieve this as well.
Yeah.
This is what I would recommend. And if you can have this, you can upgrade yourself to this service for this, but you can also have this at the same time.
Yeah.
And I think you got to have that mindset when you're creating all of your products, really.
Yeah.
So like, where do they sit in the
So there's
in the grand scheme.
There's two reasons why you would introduce a lower tier product. A, to create traction.
Yep.
To fill your premium service.
Yep.
If that's the goal, it needs a few things. One, upsell at the start. So you have to get the opt-in and then offer the upsell with an undeniable offer in terms of value.
Yeah, 100%.
Which is, you get this incredible fucking thing that I was going to charge you for free.
Yeah.
And you
also get me way better service. Yeah.
Correct. So if I was trying to fill my book, that's what I would do.
Yep.
If my book was full and I'm like, how do I increase my hourly? Maybe a lower contact option with more people at lower price point is a good way to do that.
100%.
So that's, we do the app, which we use for both, to be honest.
Yeah.
A lot of people will do like a learn to lift program or fucking
summer
shred, or like, that's what challenges are.
100%.
It's what they're based around. You're one of these two categories.
Mm.
So if you have a full book and you're like, well, I
can't really put my price up for another 6 months. I can't. There's no real room to put on another one.
Yeah, can't create any more time to take people on.
Yeah, but it's like for Jess, for example, it's like I can give up a Saturday a month, and I can do an extra check in a fortnight for a group of 10. That would be fine. So it's like, cool, we'll run that.
Yeah.
And then as you have the churn throughout that time, it's like, well, I'll pick the three people out of that program I want to come work with me.
Yeah, and that's then, it. And that's the other thing to consider is it's like just playing a little bit more longer term with vision.
Yeah, which you can be when you're full.
Yeah, that's right. And you can go, right, well, this isn't going to serve me right now. It's like not only posting when you need clients.
Correct.
Like you see the coaches that need clients.
Yeah.
Because they're back with a vengeance on social media, right?
Yeah.
So rather than just doing it for when you need something right now, have these products and stuff in the future. So it's like, oh, I need to fill a few spots.
Mm.
I've got all these people who have bought all of these products.
Yeah.
So I now have the ability to contact
them. Yeah.
And say like, hey, are you happy with your results? I see that you are doing this or have done this.
Yeah.
Did you know that because you've done this, you can get this as an upgrade to the coaching service?
Yeah. And then for coaches, it's like, that's how you feel when you have that. Throughout this, we're getting more and more focused on encouraging people to build mailing lists.
Yeah.
And this is the stuff that builds a mailing list with high quality people.
Yeah.
That it's like, hey, there's an event on. And it sells out.
Yeah.
Because you're building this.
All the stuff that you make is good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's purposeful. It's,
yeah. I bought that thing. It was great. Now they're doing a workshop. I'm in.
I know it's going to be good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that.
Cool. I think that's it.
Yeah.
Probably wrap it up.
Yeah. It's about an hour-ish, maybe just over.
Yeah.
Good amount of time.
Sweet. Don't forget, like, share, subscribe. The programming workshop is this fucking weekend. So you have 6 days, 5 sleeps. Get a ticket right
now. This will be, and I swear to you, the best event we will ever run to date.
You heard him.
I am so confident. Like my presentation alone is worth the money, worth three times the amount for 1 day. I swear to you.
Yeah. And
I'm so confident.
I'm sitting in the car for 4 hours today with my hotspot on and going slide by slide through mine because I felt like that about the last time I presented this and Jace hasn't shut the fuck up about his.
Yeah. And so I made the worksheets alone. Mine
even better.
The worksheets alone, they calculate the volume.
Yeah.
They tell you what set ranges you could use, rep ranges you could use, rest periods. Like there's templates there to program. We're going to actually build them.
Yeah.
I don't know how else I can convince you to come with our dragon is there. Like, I promise you that this will be amazing.
Yeah.
You know, I'm so confident. If you don't like it, we give you your money back. Like, I'm telling you. Yeah. Like, it will be amazing.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we do have another event here in Melbourne for December. It's called the Design Your Life Blueprint. Jason and I will not even be in attendance.
I'm actually a little bit upset that we can't go.
Yeah. We'll get the recording.
I want to do that.
Yeah. We'll get the recording.
Yeah.
So Loz from the podcast last week, obviously you all know Jess and my beautiful wife will also be presenting on the day. Saturday the 9th of December in Ringwood from 11 a.m. Design Your Life Blueprint. Three presenters. So you'll go through some goal setting, overcoming obstacles, having an analysis of what your 23 has been like and then setting up an epic 24.
Yeah.
Then we're going to go through some, let's call it character building training is the plan. We're going to show you you guys a different side of yourselves and that you're capable of more than you are aware of.
Mm.
And then Amy's going to make sure you all leave like you've just had a big warm hug and go through some visualization and maybe just like unlocking some things that have been getting in the way. Using her RTT skills with a little bit of like group meditation, hypno sort of situation. So tickets for that are, I think, in the link in bio on the Fit account. If you can't find it, as always, just DM us and we'll get you the link. Tickets are silly cheap, $199 for the three presenters for a 3-hour workshop. It's going to be elite. Stupid. And if you guys heard the workshop, you know what Loz is like. There's fucking workshops, take-home stuff,
yeah,
resources, the whole
world. Value galore.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's it. Thank you. Like, share, do the thing.
See you next time, guys.
We'll see you next week.